What's going on?
We spoke earlier, right? Texas? Yeah, I thought I forgot you, didn't I? Your boyfriend was with you, so I didn't want to rap too heavy. Because once I lay it on, how can you be with him, you know? Want me to prove it? Oh, here it comes. She was coming on to me. No, we were talking about Texas. Who's watching the manure pit while you're out here in New York? How long you in for? Because I told them we were rapping. We were having a personal rap out at the bar. Till Friday?
Saturday.
I say, see, who's the real ruler? Make her go back Friday, just on principle. Please make her go back on Friday. Do you come in for, like, Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah? What'd you buy her?
It's our third date.
It's a big fucking date, honey. I mean, we're not just talking a little tire wear and some gas money. We're talking plane tickets, hotel rooms, dinners to shove down your fucking throat. We're talking the tree, the buggy ride through Central fucking Park. Every move's a $50 spot. But you want more. You're going to push it, aren't you? It's really your third date, huh? Bang them yet? Huh? Yeah? First date? Third, of course, the trip. The fuck for a trip? Dinner don't even get you jerked off anymore. Fuck for that plane ride. Is that what mama taught you? What hotel you staying at? Huh? They got the big bathtub? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. The fuck tubs? They always nail you with that. Oh, look at a big bathtub, baby. Yeah, your ass will be scraping the bottom of this one. Right? You fucked in the bathtub, didn't you, you son of a bitch? One of those jacuzzi jets shooting up her ass at the same time. What an orgasm, baby.
It's Hughie, hello, and today is a perfect example of why I don't number podcasts anymore. Initially, the next podcast was supposed to be an episode with a comedian called Colm Tyrrell. I recorded it back in March. It's currently April 13th, and I still haven't got around to releasing it because, not that this is the shot of Colm Tyrrell, but if bigger name, or should I say, a funnier episode is ready to go, then unfortunately it's going to take its place. And today's interview is with the one and only Kevin Brennan. Kevin is one of the funniest fucking people out there. Little crazy, quite a short fuse, but he's just funny as fuck, and I will get more into that very, very soon. But before we do, it's time for the bit that everybody is so excited about and can't get enough of. It is the plugs. Do not forget that if you want to check out the video version of tonight's epic interview, then check out Hughie Entertainment on YouTube. That is the only place to see the video version. Leave comments, drop likes, interact with the videos. If you want to insult me, go ahead, leave it in the comments. I do not respond to social media messages, and I've said this many, many times. You can DM me on fucking Twitter and Instagram all you want. I'll never reply. But if you want to contact me, you do it via the YouTube channel. Go into the comments. Say whatever you want, and I respond to every comment. Speaking of YouTube, if you happen to be a pro wrestling fan and you want to hear it spoken about by actual wrestlers, then go check out Keepin' 100 Official. That's the official music that's the official YouTube channel. I'm not editing that fucking mistake out. I'm keeping it in. The official YouTube channel for the podcast hosted by the legendary Conan and his gardener, Disco Inferno. Again, interact, leave comments, do all that shit. At the minute, over 14 million views, over 26,000 subscribers. It's going great. Let's hopefully double that in 24 hours. Well, maybe not, but let's do it. As I mentioned earlier, I'm at the Hughie on Twitter, at the Hughie on Instagram. Follow me, retweet me, like me. DM me if you want, but you're doing it at your own fucking wasted time. I will not reply. Again, find me mostly on YouTube, but do follow me also on Instagram. I post all kinds of dirty stuff. And I have to say that any and all music clips you may hear within this episode, well, in my opinion, they're all 5-star brilliant, and I wouldn't use them if I didn't think they're anything less than 5 stars. So there's my review. And if you want to personally own those songs and you want to support those artists, well, you can get it from all good official music stores and streaming sites. So thank you, and the plugs are over. When I first started this podcast, I had a list of names that I really, really wanted to interview. Because whether the big names or not, you just know it's going to be great content. Because, you know, it's one thing getting a huge, like, The Rock on, or fucking Tom Cruise. But if they're going to give you a bad interview, there's not going to be much rewatch or re-listen or whatever the fuck. But the three of the names that I did want, and you can find these all over my Twitter, because it's true. I wanted Nick DiPaolo. I wanted Jenna Jameson. You know her. Stop acting like you don't know her. And Kevin Brennan. And one down, two to go. Kevin Brennan is fucking amazing. He's like an interviewer's dream, in that all you've got to do is ask him a question and you're going to get a fucking 7 to 9 minute response. That's the perfect thing, and especially it's because the episode previous to this, Chad Zumach, while he was a nice guy, not exactly a fucking super talkative, funny guy, or should I say, on that episode. I'm sure he's a heck of a swell guy. But before we get to Kevin Brennan, as everybody knows, I am part of the Get My Go show. Nobody works harder on Get My Go more than Mike Durband. And Mike Durband is not only the host of Get My Go, but he is also the host of his own show, the Mike Durband Show, very inventively titled. Just at the time of recording this, his most recent episode was Vince Russo of pro wrestling fame, coming on to review the Bangles, the band of Susanna Hoff, who I would love to bang, I've got to be honest with you. But as anyone who knows me, I'm a big movie guy. I love sci-fi, big superhero fan, always have been. Likely won't be for much longer, because they're getting a little too woke for my liking, but more on that later. Mike Durban's going to come on for a little film review, and the film we picked today to review is the great Spider-Man Far From Home. So Mike Durban, hello. I am recording this directly in my home, but the next film we're going to review with Mike Durban is Spider-Man Far From Home, and I've just realized that I have a mic, not a headset, and I keep leaning away from the fucking thing. Mike Durban, what was your opinion on Spider-Man Far From Home?
This is one of my least favorite Marvel films, but Marissa Tomei looks very, very appealing in this movie.
Yeah, I'd love to fuck that bitch. What is your plug?
Check out the Creative Control Network, where there are many, many shows. And every show has their own feed.
Support to you for It's Hughie Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, who just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about 6 of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGY at manscaped.com. At HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGY. HUGHEZY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. This fantastic 5-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's Hughie Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at bluechew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA. Thank you! And they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Hugey Hello listeners. You try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you're going to do, though, is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast. And on with the show. Okay, thank you, Mike Durban, for that fantastic appearance. And I've got to say, about Get My Go, for those that don't know, maybe we've got some new listeners, Get My Go is a podcast burial show where we will take some of the worst podcasts out there, we will review them, we will take audio clips, video clips, and talk shit about them. It's basically the YouTube version of Who Are These Podcasts, which will soon be spoken about very, very soon, soonly. This interview is, while I've literally just recorded it with Kevin, so maybe I'm a bit, you know, still excited about it, I genuinely do think this is one of my greatest interviews so far. Kevin always has an opinion on stuff, always speaks his mind, always has something to add or make fun of, and that's exactly what you want in an interviewer. A lot of topics spoken about. Sorry, I dropped my pen. A lot of topics spoken about. There is some Dave Landau talk, Chrissy Mayer. There's talk about the feud they just broke yesterday with Who Are These Podcasts. There's if the Jim Stansel and Anthony Mead and Ski Mask listening, there's talk about you in here. We've got Kumia, Jim Norton going fucking snowflakey. We've got, what's his name? The great Artie Lang. And it's all ready to go now. Kevin Brennan, hello. Joining us here today, it's the guy who wrote the latest Amy Schumer special, except she rewrote the whole thing herself in the nude, taking a shit. We've got the beautiful and the talented Mr. Kevin Brennan. How are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Hungover.
Yeah?
Oh, God.
You have to drink every day because you're Irish?
No, it's because I'm a cokehead.
Oh, cokehead.
So, three of the people that I've wanted to interview since I started this was, I wanted to interview Nick DiPaolo, I wanted to interview Jenna Jameson, and then I thought, fuck it, why don't I just try for Kevin Brennan? He's basically the best of both worlds.
Right. It's a combination.
Yeah. But the thing about Jenna Jameson, though, she's notoriously racist right wing, and she changed the porn industry because she refused to do films that had a gentleman of, shall we say, Leslie Jones's hairstyle.
So she wouldn't have sex with black dudes?
She wouldn't even be in the same films as them.
Oh, wow. Good for her.
But I've got to ask you, one of the things I love about you is the fact that you're not afraid to speak up or talk out against anybody. Because so many people play it safe. Nobody fucking wants to say anything. Just over the last less than 24 hours, I've seen you get into a kind of a Twitter spat with the guys from Who Are These Podcasts.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about that feud, what started it and what happened?
I think what happened was at one point they, you know, because they go after people's podcasts, right? They listen to people's podcasts and they make fun of them. And so, you know, they never approached me, or maybe they did approach me, but I'm not sure. I think they didn't, but I basically said, you know, that they're clowns because, you know, they want to be friends with Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony fame. So there's a guy who does a show on Compound Media which I used to have a show on called, my show was called Burning Bridges. His show is called Would You Kindly. And, one of the reasons I quit Compound Media is because his name's E-Rock. He came in, he's like, you know, I'm the boss now. Anyway, show's awful. He came in and right away, and he put his show up on YouTube, you know, so I didn't even know we could do that. Basically say, you know, we're supposed to be behind a paywall at Compound Media. And so he put a show, up, I guess, behind a paywall, but then he put it up on YouTube. And I was like, oh, I didn't know we could even do that, because you would want to do that to have more people watch it, right? But that would kind of defeat the purpose of having a fucking paywall. Anyway, I just, the guy got sick of the guy real quick. And so anyway, these guys, Who Were These Pods, they had E-Rock on and they were reviewing like Opie's show or somebody's show. And I told us guys, I go, why don't you review E-Rock's Would You Kindly show? It's fucking horrible. I said, why don't you review that? So that's basically where it started. And then yesterday, you know, somebody said, I forget even what happened yesterday, but they wanted me to do a show. They wanted me to review my brother's show, How Neil Feel. And I said, no, let's review E-Rock's show. I'd be glad to do that. I said, let's do that first. And they, of course, they backed out because, you know, again, it's like guys trying to be tough. But, you know, people are always tough until it's not comfortable for them to be tough. So, you know, they'll shit on everybody, but we're not going to shit on anyone that might create blockage to Anthony Cumia, because Cumia likes them because they shit on Opie's show. So they want to stay friends with Cumia, so they got to stay friends with E-Rock. So, you know, it's just typical double standard. Like they won't get bought out. They call it like it is until it's E-Rock's show. And then they're like, oh, we see no evil. It's just, it's all, you know, bullshit anyway. So I was like, fuck these guys. And then they were shitting on me. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, review my show because then I'll review their show. You know, they're just, they live in fucking Rochester, New York. That's like living in fucking, you know, I don't know, like Scotland or someplace like that. It's fucking, it's cold and nasty up there. So fuck them.
And all Scottish people are cunts, as I think the media refers to. But the thing I'm going to say about Who Are These Podcasts is I love the show and I listen to it. But I think that you should go on there because they seem to have turned their sights on to Chad Zumach.
Yeah. Yeah, but Chad works for my he works on my show. Why would I go on their show if they're shitting on someone on my show? Shit on me or shit on E-Rock. It's like They go after easy targets, and they just, you know, everybody in fucking, everybody in Twitter, everybody in social media, like I say about Twitter, everybody on Twitter, every dude on Twitter is a tough guy, and every woman's a whore. So in reality, women don't like to have sex, and guys never fight. Guys never fight. But on Twitter, so these guys fill the bill perfectly. They're tough guys, you know, until push comes to shove. It's like, review E-Rock show. Review the most unwatchable piece of shit that's ever been presented in the podcast form. But they won't do it because then, you know, E-Rock will get mad and then he'll tell Kumia and then Kumia will be like, oh, well, you know. So I will not, I will do nothing. I will not do any of these, you know, whatever. They can, I'm not going to, people are like, you should listen to them. They're shitting on chat. I don't give a fuck what they have to say. I won't even listen to this show once you put it out. I'm not going to listen to a fucking show about a show or about Chad. I already know about Chad. I know more about Chad than these motherfuckers. So, but I'm supposed to cater to them. I'll do your show. Right. Yeah. I'll review my brother's show on your show. Right. Okay. Cause that's the kind of cuck I am. These guys, you know, oh, we're tough guys, but oh no, we can't review E-Rocks because we're friends with E-Rock. Okay, well then you're not tough guys.
There's been a rumor that the guy that hosts the Who Are These podcast, Carl, is going to become the new co-host of the Anthony Cumia show.
Okay, that's great. Because I know Anthony Cumia is great. He's great at picking co-hosts. First he picked a straight up junkie. They picked a guy that nobody else would hire. And they paid him $8,000 a week. $8,000 a week. Nobody else would. They were negotiating against themselves. Nobody else was going to hire Artie Lang. They overpaid him by about $7,000 a week. So, and then they hired Dave Landa, who I told them was a gutless coward. And then he turned out to be a gutless coward. So let him pick the guy from Who Are These Pods. That would be I'm sure this guy will be a complete, turn out to be a complete, whatever. He's not going to hire anybody to be a sidekick because he's a grown man. Anthony Cumia don't need a sidekick. He can just, first of all, he's moving to South Carolina. Second of all, he don't need a sidekick. He's, at this point, he's not going to get another sidekick.
Well, based on the latest news going about, it sounds like Anthony would want to live in Georgia. But seeing as you mentioned the guy's name, Dave.
Now he's moving to Georgia?
Yeah, just because of the whole voter thing. That's the way he wants it.
Wait, he's not moving to South Carolina now? He's moving to Georgia?
No, he is moving to Carolina. I just bombed. That's okay.
Oh.
But I got to ask you about Dave Landau, because you just mentioned his name. For the record,
can I plug a documentary that the guy made about me? Porcelain made a document before I forget.
Yeah, English person Porcelain made this documentary.
It's on his YouTube, youtube.com, Porcelain, P-O-R-S-A-L-I-N. He's done a lot of great documentaries.
And if you want a better Kevin Brennan interview than this, also check out that channel. There's like a 2-hour long interview that Kevin did with English person Porcelain.
Yeah.
I hope England dies. But as we were saying, you mentioned the name Dave Landau, and I've interviewed him a few times. I like him. I think he's funny. But it seems like you two, from the fucking beginning, had a genuine feud that almost literally get physical at one point. Can you tell me about what the fuck started the issue between you? And what's your reaction to this thing with Crowder? Because it seems like, well, according to online rumors, so put as much into that as you want, Crowder's losing a shit ton of money every day now that YouTube took away his monetization, which means that he's going to have to start making cuts. So there's maybe the chance that Landau may get fired by Crowder, which I hope doesn't happen because he's, I'm just saying, but tell us about the feud and the latest on Dave.
Wait, so the Crowder thing is where he's demonetized, they demonetized him on YouTube forever or just for a suspension?
Apparently, it's forever.
For what did he do?
It's just because the fact that he's not a fucking left-wing cunt, they
what
think.
Did he do? What did he do? You don't get fired for not being a left-wing cunt. So what did he do?
I think it was some sort of sketch, some sort of edgy comedy. He must have said the word tits or whatever.
So this is facts or these are rumors that you're hearing that he's losing money?
Well, it's a fact that he's losing money because without that monetization, like that's a shit ton of ad revenue that's gone.
Yeah, but doesn't he still get paid by Blaze TV?
Yes, but that would be over the... but that's without all the YouTube money, which is probably... it's got to be tens of thousands per month.
Okay. All right, so yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a scam. I thought what Crowder was doing was a scam to get people to pay attention to him. I didn't know. I don't know what's what. So, so the Dave Lana thing is basically that. I mean, part of it was that I wanted to. I guess what year was that? 2018. I'd been there. I'd been in Comia for less than a year, and I basically had it. They hired Artie Lang, who was a disaster. And then I was on Jim and Sam on Sirius Satellite Radio out of New York, and they were, you know, I was basically saying what was wrong with the network because I had quit. You know, I quit on like a Monday, and then they had me on a Tuesday. And I was basically saying what was wrong with the network. And, you know, and I mentioned Dave Lando. I just said nobody knows who Dave Lando is. And that's not me imagining it. In New York, nobody knew who Dave Lando was. No one had ever heard of him. Even after he got there, even if he worked there for a couple of years, still no one had ever heard of him. He didn't work any of the clubs. You know, he can say he worked the road or whatever. I never saw him at any clubs. I worked most of the better clubs in the city, like the Comedy Cellar or the Stand, or, you know, I don't work Gotham. Maybe he works Gotham. I don't know. So I just said nobody ever heard of him. And he was, at one point Artie was like in jail or something for like 4 weeks or something, or he was in rehab. So they had all these co-host filling in for Artie. So, you know, and I was bitching about that. I go, why would they put Ron Bennington? I go, why would you put Ron? Why don't you just put people who work there so you can help promote our shows instead of getting Ron Bennington and getting outsiders? And then they got Dave Lando do a week. And I was like, Dave Lando, no one's ever heard of Dave Lando. And that's when Keith the Cop called in and he was like, you know, Kumia really likes Dave Lana. At that point, I didn't care. I didn't care what happened to me. I was making $250 a week there. So I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck either way. I was like, good, then hire Dave Lando, you know? So, I guess Dave Lando, you know, got pissed. I didn't care. And so Jim and Sam brought us in like a month later to hash things out or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll play along. I don't give a fuck, you know? So then, and then Dave Lando took it seriously because I think he thought he was like, Dave Lando thinks he's like real, real super great. Like he just thinks he's a super great guy, super funny. That's how I'm not saying that's what he is. I'm saying that's how he perceives himself as a super funny, great guy. So it's like, all right, well, and like I said on the interview with Porcelain, like I have nothing against, you know, like I'm not going to say the guys, I don't know about the guy. How funny or not funny is, because I mean I've seen his stand up once. It wasn't spectacular. And then I've been on the show. I think I know I've done a show before Dave Lando was even like hired at Compound Media. And I think I was on a show with me, Kumia, and Lando. And Lando doesn't, I just thought he didn't really talk very much. So I was like, I was just never like blown away by the guy, I guess, you know, and then everybody was saying how great he was. And like I said, in the interview with Porcelain, it's not like I was saying he sucked. I'm just saying great compared to who. I mean, you know, whatever, like you brought up Nick DiPaolo. I basically, when Boston Comedy Club opened in New York City, I was emceeing a lot, and most, and you know, Louis C.K. was doing a lot of spots there, and Dave Chappelle, and Nick DiPaolo, and Dave Attell. So it's like this is who I basically started with in New York. So is Dave Lando in that? So people throw around the term great, or you know, he's a great comic. It's like Dave Lando's not a great comic. I mean, he might be a great comic if you're talking about middles or Midwestern comedy, or but for like in the grand scheme of things, he's not a great comic. So I never bought the fucking all the compound media bullshit about him, like how great he is and how great he is with Kumia. I've done shows with Kumia many times. It's not hard to be good with Kumia because Kumia is good. So he makes everybody around him look good. So it's not complicated, but you know, the fans were like, oh, Dave's a great guy. And he's hilarious. And it's like, okay, I've never seen it. I've never seen his hilarity, but you know, and then I didn't watch his show with Lando. I mean, with Kumia, but you know, I've been on shows with him, and I would have noticed if he was great. I would have noticed.
I've got to say though, but when it came to him announcing that he's left from the Kumia show, your dislike for him seemed to really, really ramp it up. And this is not meant to be rude to you, but it came across that it seemed like you were angry at the fact that he was getting this new job for with a higher paying right wing guy.
What?
Yeah, Crowder, he's one of them.
Yeah, so what? I was mad about what?
No, I'm saying that it seemed like you didn't like the fact that he had this new job.
At Crowder?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
No, I'm just saying that's the way it seemed based on like...
No, why did it seem like that way to you? Because the exact opposite is true. Why did I seem like not happy? I was thrilled that he left Compound Media. When I went on Kumia the day after he left, I was saying, did you not watch that episode? It's on YouTube. I'm thrilled that he left. So why are you saying I was mad that he? I don't understand.
No, I just mean because it kind of seemed that way a bit. But I'm not.
What seemed? What do you say? I explain yourself. I'm confused.
No, man, I just thought that the fact that he left. And because I listen to your show, Misery Loves Company, which, by the way, has a great Patreon. Everyone should go donate to. What's the address of the Patreon?
Patreon, Patreon MLC Podcast.
Oh, yes.
Or go to my Twitter. But the link's on my Twitter, KevinBrennan666 at Twitter. So I don't understand. Why you thought I was mad that he went to Crowder?
Yeah, not so much... I don't think you were like angry that he left, but I think it was the fact that he was going on to a bigger thing. It just seemed that it pissed you off.
No, you're not very smart.
No.
So when I was thrilled that he left, I thought the way he left was typical Landau, like gutless, underhanded. He quit in a fucking email to Kumia. He didn't tell him in person. He didn't call him on the phone. He quit the most cowardly way you can through an email, because email's if you're a coward, it's the greatest thing, because you don't have to, you just send somebody an email and then they get it when they get it. They see it when they see it. It's not like a text or a phone call. If you text somebody, it pops up right away. If you DM somebody, it might pop up right away. But an email does not pop up. So you might see email 3 hours after you got it. Kumia said he saw it on Sunday, and Landau, I guess, sent it on Friday. So again, maybe that's his technique. I'll send it on Friday. Kumia might not see it for days. I won't have to deal with it. I just thought it was typical Landau, underhanded, you know, gutless. I'm just not a fan of the guy. But I was mad that he went to Crowder? I was thrilled. I was thrilled that he was out of New York, and I never have to fucking see him again. So I don't know. I don't know how you interpret that as I was mad that he went to Crowder, the exact opposite.
I will accept my wrongness as usual, but behind the scenes was Anthony. Did he say anything about Dave after he left? Or is Anthony just like fuck it, upwards and onwards.
No, when I was on the show, they basically said what, you know, I asked him. I didn't think anybody else was going to ask him. So he said, no, he said what I just said to you. He quit through an email. He quit on a Friday, I guess. He sent me an email on Friday. Cumia didn't see it till Sunday. So he was kind of, you know, I guess he smelled trouble. And so he probably wasn't completely surprised, but he was still like, I'm sure it was a surprise that he got it through an email that he quit. So Cumia was not happy. And then Cumia went on Bobby Kelly's show with Landau. Bobby Kelly got them together. And of course, Bobby did a horrific interview with them together. He got to the bottom of nothing. He basically tried to make those guys, make peace. But it's like, the point was, Cumia was not happy. I mean, Cumia's pretty a straightforward guy. When I was talking to him before I went on the show that day, he was saying, he was not thrilled with the way it went down. And then when he was on the show with me, he was saying he wasn't thrilled with the way it went down. And then Cumia was saying, well, you know, it's a business. I'm like, it's not a business. You guys are friends. He stayed at your house. You guys did fucking 3 years together, whatever it was. And so, you know, you can say it's a business, you know, but that was more, there was more a personal situation than business situation.
Are you trying to say you didn't find it hilarious when Bob Kelly made Italian kitchen jokes to Anthony Cumia?
I mean, that's really Bobby's downfall, because Bobby's funny. He's a funny comic, but he goes for the, like, be like me making fun of the blinds behind you for an hour.
Don't.
You know? I mean, it's like, at some point, it's like, first of all, they're not funny. So to Bobby to make fun of Cumia's chandeliers,
yeah,
like on and on and on. I was like, Bobby just doesn't know how to do this. Bobby is basically not good at podcasting. And part of it is because of that, because he goes for the low hanging fruit, as they say. And that works in stand up, but in podcasting, it doesn't work.
If only you went for fruit in real life. But I'm going to ask you about another comedian that you seem to have a feud with. Did that just hit? Did I get one laugh?
I don't know. I know I was laughing at the fact that I don't know what you said. I was laughing at the fact that it probably was a joke and I didn't hear it.
Even if you did hear
it. I don't even care. I don't even care. It doesn't matter. Like, if I laugh at your joke, it doesn't matter. It's life goes on either way, right?
No, it matters to me.
If you get a laugh or don't get a laugh, it doesn't matter. It's just one joke in the big picture.
No, I'd kill myself tonight. But again,
I would love it if you killed yourself, because then I would get a lot of attention and my Patreon and YouTube numbers would spike.
There you go. I'll claim rape.
I had a girl on yesterday who her co-host killed herself when they were doing a podcast. And I said, your numbers went up? She goes, yeah, they went up. Well, they went way up. So, you know, temporarily. Then you got to sustain it.
Well, speaking of women and speaking of podcasters, I've got to ask you about another one of your feuds that's going on with Chrissy Mayer. Now, for the record, again, much like Landau, I like her. I think she's funny. I've interviewed her once or twice before. But your line about her, about the Capitol thing, regardless of what side you're on, that is fucking hilarious. I hope they don't find red.
What did I say?
He said
red pubic hair.
Oh no, he said red cunt hair.
I gotta keep it clean. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I can't hear you anyway.
Go ahead. Yeah, yell cunt.
No, so no, with the Chrissy thing, I'm basically mind my own business, but what I don't do is if somebody comes at me or if I feel disrespected, I'm like, come on. So the day after Landau quit, I told my wife, yeah, I'm in a good mood, you know. So I'm gonna go into Compound Media and, you know, just whatever, just be in a good mood. Why not stay at home with this good mood? So I did In Hot Water. And then And then I had heard that Chrissy was at that the FBI came to Compound Media, you know. So I asked Aaron, I go, did the FBI come here? And she's like, and then Chrissy called in and she's like, Kevin, why are you starting rumors? I'm like, I'm not starting, I'm trying to confirm these rumors. I'm not starting anything. So the point, and then but what I didn't know was Chrissy was in DC on January 6th. So for Chrissy to call in and go, you know, why are you starting these rumors? You think she would just like let it kind of dissipate and go away as opposed to calling in and making it a bigger spectacle than it had to be. So the point is, if I would have known then on when I was at In Hot Water that day, I would have been like, well, weren't you in DC on January 6th? But she was, because she called into Compound Media. She called into In Hot Water and said she said, I'm calling from DC and it's crazy here and blah, blah, blah. She didn't say she broke into the Capitol. So I'm guessing she did probably wasn't there, because they probably would have arrested her. They would recognize her red hair and whatever. And there's probably not that many women with red hair at the Capitol that day. So they would have recognized her. And plus, there's evidence that she was there because she called into Compound Media, you know.
But no red contact.
I'm not going to rehash old material for you. I mean, if that's what I said, that's what I said. You know, sometimes I say stuff just to punctuate it and to, you know, get a cheap laugh. But, you know, I don't, whatever. And then I get in trouble. I said a bad word last week on Compound Media and they won't take it off the show. And I'm like, just take it out. Because, you know, I told Gino, I go, just take it out. He goes, you know, Gino's being plain hard to get with it. But, you know, because they're like, we don't cave to the cancel culture. I'm like, okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. There's a for real a cancel culture. I mean, it's not happening. It's like Shane Gillis lost his job. Louis C.K. lost his career. Owen Benjamin is basically canceled. Crowder's canceled. It's not like, you know, this imaginary thing. Like it's like the Tooth Fairy. It's a real fucking thing, you know. So whatever. That's that.
Well, thankfully Hunter Biden isn't canceled and he's still out there right now fucking some kids. But I gotta ask you about it.
What?
Hunter Biden.
He's having sex with kids?
Yeah.
Like children.
Yeah, yeah. He's a cunt.
You have proof of that?
Have you followed Jenna Jameson? She tweeted a picture of him with a kid in underwear. He's a cunt. I hope he fucking drops dead.
Wow. So Jenna Jameson, she's like a QAnon person now, or how?
Big time. She's QAnon? She's in the right wing stuff, like she was in the fucking drinking cum back in the 90s.
But she's QAnon?
Big, one of the biggest out there.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, they might be wrong about some things.
Yeah. But I gotta ask you about Chad Zumach, because at the time this comes out, he'll have been my previous interview.
Chad was on the show.
Yeah, yeah. He was your opening act.
All right.
He is of course going through a lot of legal shit at the minute. I think he mentioned this trial starting soon. Can't remember the date. Do you think he's going to go to jail?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not even a cop. But I will say, if Chad goes to jail, it'd probably be good for my show. If he can call in from his jail cell and do it and be a podcaster from, I mean, that'll create some buzz, right? One of the guys, I call him a segment producer. My segment producers in the clink, as they say in America. So yeah, that would be, you know, I don't think he's going to go to, if he goes to jail, I don't think it's going to be forever. Cause I don't know the law exactly, but I think if it's like, if you commit a crime against somebody, that's right. Like if you stab somebody, or do something like that, where you physically hurt somebody, I think that's more considered more serious than minor credit card thievery. I mean, it's not insider trading or you know, like a serious white collar crime. It's just, you know, it's basically a misunderstanding. So, I mean, I think like if Chad, I'd be more worried about if I was Chad, if I actually committed a crime against a person, you know, or like something where where they can't kind of dismiss it, or they think he's like a threat to society. He's not really a threat to society.
Do you think he's handsome enough to be gang raped in prison?
Chad's going to have some appeal in prison. That's a fact. And how will he need protection? I don't know, but Chad says he can play ball. No pun intended. Chad says he can play ball. So maybe some of the basketballers in the prison will take a shine to him. And if he can be point guard or something.
He'll have to change the name of his podcast to Hurts When It Sits Down with Zumach.
Is that what you told him, or are you just trying to stuff on me?
I'm trying to stuff on you.
All right.
He could produce the new segment for Misery Loves Company called Rape of the Week.
All right. I'll take all these under consideration.
Thank you. But speaking of which, of course, you mentioned Louis C.K. earlier. He was a victim of cancel culture. A lot of his projects, like films and TV shows, all that shit gets shut down. But he's back touring, selling shows. You've toured with him recently. But do you think there's the possibility ever that Louis C.K. might be able to go mainstream again?
I guess his Horace and Pete is on Amazon. I don't know. I mean, when it first happened, I thought, you know, it is going to be hard for him to get back to how things were. But then I did a lot of dates with him. So, I mean, I guess I still kind of think that just because show business is really weird now anyway. Like they don't really like white dudes anyway. So, you know, I'm on Twitter and like all I ever see is like black women saying how they got writing jobs. Like it's like, I don't know any of these people. I don't even know how I follow them, or maybe somebody I know retweets what they said, but it just seems like everybody who's getting a writing or producing job is a black woman. And it's like, that's fine, but they're not going to, the chances of them creating mainstream stuff that has crossover appeal is a small chance. But again, TV's not looking for that anymore. There's a show my wife watches that he's on like Hulu or something. Rami, you know this guy, Rami, whatever.
Yeah.
And he like won an Emmy last year. I know the guy. He does stand up at the Comedy Cellar, but like, I'm never going to watch a show. I don't even know where the fuck it is, you know? So I'm not good at finding these people's shows. It's not like the old days where you just turn on the TV and Seinfeld was on, or fucking Cheers, or All in the Family. So now showbiz is all about giving people opportunities who haven't had them in the past. So, which is great for, you know, which is great for people of color and women and people but it's not great for white dudes, you know, because in the past it was always white dudes were in charge of show business. So now they're like, hey, white dudes are bad. So I guess my point is that, you know, it's hard to be a white dude now anyway. So it's not hard to be a white dude, but it's not like white dudes are getting all these opportunities thrown at them anymore. Obviously they did in the past, but now it's almost like affirmative action in show business, which is fine, but it's, you know, I guess to answer your question, I don't think they're going to be, I don't think any showbiz is going to be reaching out to Louis with, you know, a lot of opportunities like he had in the past, where they come to him and they say, hey, well, you want to do this? You want to do that? Because that's not where show business is headed. But on the other hand, the stuff that Louis controls, he'll do well with, you know, like he's a very organized guy, and his tours are good. His stand-up is good, and he'll do well with that. So, but again, like even if somebody was saying, it's hard to say exactly what's happening out there. Cause nobody knows because with the pandemic, no one's producing anything anyway, really, like movies aren't getting made. But for the most part, it's all about, you know, creating opportunities for people who haven't had them in the past. So is Louis in line to get an opportunity? No, but white dudes aren't in general, you know, like you see all these white comics who work at a comedy store. Like, I had to self-produce my own special. I mean, which is not that bad, because they usually end up getting a deal with Comedy Central on YouTube or whatever. But they're like, I can't. So again, you know, HBO and Netflix, they're looking for diversity. They're not looking for white dudes. So to answer you, I know it's a long answer that you didn't want, but the point is that they're not looking to give white dudes a lot of opportunities in the first place. So, and especially if Louis considered, you know, not damaged goods, but like, you know, a victim of the cancel culture. They're not going to be reaching out to him because in general, they're not reaching out to white dudes anyway, especially if you're older, like if you're a younger guy, but they want to give it to Rami or like just, you know, Trevor Noah. They want to make these guys stars because then they look like they're inclusive. But again, like how much appeal do these guys have? Because how many people are going to watch Rami's show, you know? I mean, people will watch it. They give them award after award, but like, are people going to watch it? They don't even know where to fucking find it. You have to go to Amazon Prime or Hulu Plus or fucking, you know. I mean, when you start having to go to Amazon, it's like in the old days, you used to have Sears Roebuck, and then you'd have to, and they'd have their own network. It's like Amazon is like Sears when I grew up, where you go to buy everything. So now that Amazon has their own network, it's like, what the fuck is that? Like it's fucking ridiculous. Like Amazon, which is basically sells you everything. And now we make TV shows too. So it's like, okay, but is that normal? No. And plus, if you're doing a show on Amazon, it doesn't have to get ratings because Amazon makes money doing everything else. So if you, it's great. It must be great to have a show on Amazon where you can make the show as quirky as you want, get Emmys, and nobody needs to watch it because Amazon's not trying to make, doesn't even need to make money off of their TV stuff. So, but Louis's going to be fine. To answer your question, Louis's going to be fine because his fans love him. He's a great stand-up, and he's going to be fine.
But do you like Louis C.K.'s TV shows?
Honestly, I never watched them. I never watched really TV. I watched the news too a lot, and I watch sports, but I don't watch any shows. I tried to watch when I lived in LA for a couple of years. I wasn't doing as much stand up, so I watched TV, and I just found it dull. And then with the pandemic, you know, I couldn't do stand up, so I was watching stuff people would recommend, and I found it like fucking horrific. Even the shit people are like, what's that show with Jason Bateman or it's on Netflix.
The Ozark?
Yeah, Ozark. And I'm like, this is fucking garbage. And people are like, Joe Rogan's like, he tweeted like, oh, this is amazing television. I was like, it's absolute fucking garbage. So to answer your question, like I never really was like a big TV guy. You know, I just made mostly because I worked at night. It's doing stand-up. I never got caught up in like, but my wife loved Louis' show. She said it was like amazing. His FX show, she said it was amazing. And she watches a lot of TV. She makes up for me what I don't want. But she wanted to meet him, you know, because I kept doing gigs with him. And so she said, you know, she's like, she goes, I want to meet Louis. So I told Louis that. I go, my wife wants to meet you. And he goes, well, he goes, what do you mean? I said, like, just meet her at Funkin' Dunkin' Donuts or something. We can just, you know, 15 minutes. And he goes, well, bring her to a show. And so I brought her to a, I brought her to a show like in New Jersey here where I live near, whatever, it doesn't matter where, but, and it was right before it was funny because it was right before it was right. It worked out good. Actually, my wife helped me because I wasn't even on that. I wasn't supposed to be on that date, but it was close to my house. So Louis goes, well, bring her to the show in New Brunswick, New Jersey. So I said, okay. So I did that show. And then after the show, like Louis met my wife and my wife was all excited, whatever. Because no, I mean, the FX show, she said it's like one of her favorite shows of all time. So anyway, so she was nice to him. She told him how great it was and everything. So he was probably happy about that. But anyway, then he says after the show, I was thanking him for, you know, meeting my wife and putting me on the show so he could meet her. And then he goes, well, what are you doing this weekend? I said, well, I just have spots in New York. And he said, well, yeah, because I might need you in Washington. So that's when he ended up taping his special because this is in like the beginning of March of 2020. And then he was supposed to, he was going to tape the special like in April in Boston. So, but he was like, he didn't like what was happening with the COVID, you know, he was trying to figure out if April was even going to be feasible because things weren't shutting down yet, but things were starting to, like, they canceled, not Lollapalooza. What's that thing they do in the California desert? It's like a big fucking
Coachella.
Yeah. They Coachella had just been canceled. So that week. And then, so Louis thought was like, I better fucking. So then he had shows in Washington, D.C. So he asked me, he's doing the show Saturday and Sunday of that week, the first week of March 2020. So he said he had people on the shows already booked, but then I think he probably wanted somebody who was like, he knew better because I think it just makes him feel comfortable. So, cause you know, when you're doing a special, you worry about everything. So I think he just, you know, the other people he had on the show, they were good, but I think cause even when he brought me down there, they were like, oh, we probably wanted you down here. They said it to me, the other comics here, like, he probably wanted you down here cause you're one of his boys, as they called it. You're one of his boys. Cause I did do a lot. I mean, me and Louis were never that tight, but I did do a lot of dates with him when he came back from his hiatus. So he did Saturday and Sunday and with a crew, with a television crew, which was last minute. He taped it and literally he taped it for Saturday and Sunday. And literally that week, everything got shut down. Like they canceled the NBA, the college basketball tournament got canceled. Like, so his timing was like so perfect because he just was like, let me just do this in case. He thought he could still do it maybe in April if he had to in Boston, but he's like, let me just get this one in the bank and then we'll figure it out from there. And then if he didn't tape it that weekend, it was never going to be taped in front of a full crowd. And he didn't get lucky, but he got very smart because then if he tapes it after COVID, he's got to do all the COVID jokes. So because he didn't, he could release it. He released it like about a month later. And there was no COVID jokes. So it was kind of like it was kind of nice because there was no COVID jokes, even though COVID had already started, you know? So it was just kind of like a throwback thing. So
what do you think is the realistic possibilities that Louis C.K. would be on Misery Loves Company? Because he did that fucking Joe List podcast a couple of weeks ago.
How did you listen to it?
No. Because it's a Joe List podcast.
Yeah, but him and Joe List are very good friends. So it's like I don't, you know, it would be like Joe List and Louis are like me and Chad at this point. Like I've only known Chad for a couple of years, but like I do a lot of shows with Chad now. And like we're doing something on Sirius Satellite Radio. Like we're doing our albums together. So like I'm Louis's more friendly than I am. So if I was more friendly, me and Chad would be friends, but as it is, we're just business associates. But you know, but I talk to Chad and you know, like whatever. So, um, So we're like friendly. So, but Joe List and Louis are very friendly, is my point. So I'm not as friendly with Louis as Joe List is. And so Chad actually said, oh, you should ask Louis to be on your podcast. And cause he's doing Joe List's show. And I was like, yeah, but if I ask Louis, I know he's going to say no. I mean, it's harder. It's easier for Joe List to ask him because they probably talk all the time. So he might just, and then I guess it was a podcast about movies. And then he can just ask, he can just say, you know, they can just say in conversation. Louis might have said, hey, maybe I'll do your podcast. Because Louis doesn't want to talk about any bullshit. So I was going to actually ask him to do, me and Chad and Ken Mosca were doing a podcast about football. So at one point in October, me and Louis and another comic, we went to Baltimore, and then we were supposed to go to Cleveland, but Cleveland got canceled because it was really spiking in Ohio. So, but I told Chad, I said, I was going to ask Louis, because we're going to have like 3 or 4 days off in between Baltimore and Cleveland, or at least 2 days off. So I was going to ask Louis to do that podcast, because then it would just be talking football. You know, because I know what Louis doesn't. I know the fans want to ask. If you do a podcast with Louis, they would want you to ask Louis like personal stuff, and Louis doesn't want to talk about it. And I know that. So it would be, unless you have something specifically like sports or movies or something, the weather. You know, Louis doesn't want to shoot the shit because then he knows what the fans want to hear, which is like, wait, what really happened? And are you mad? Are you like, I don't know if he's over it. But he's like, he don't want to talk about it, you know?
Well, speaking of shooting
plus
shit.
If he did talk about it, he would go on Rogan or somebody like that, where everybody would see it, where it, you know, it would be like one of those, or Mark Maron, who he's been friends with for a long time. It would be something like that, not like a, you know, or do a podcast like where they talk about movies. If he was going to talk about it, he's going to go on like a big show and just get it out of the way and never discuss it again.
Yeah, like the Mike Buscetti podcast.
Yeah, but like, yeah, because I mean, he basically said he was at one point. I think he was. Thinking about maybe going at Bill Maher's show, because I think Bill Maher reached out to him, and he was thinking like but this was a long time ago. This is like, I think when it first started, where he was thinking about just going on a show like that, and he could just address whatever he wanted to address, and then that would be the end of it. He would never discuss it again.
But speaking of other controversial figures, and I ask this of everybody just because, well, because I
don't talk politics. I don't talk politics.
Oh, no, no. It's about the great Artie Lang, the political comedy expert. I've heard so many rumors about where he is and what's happened. I've heard stuff like rehab, jail. I've heard some pretty unfortunate rumors that I hope aren't true, that his mother got COVID earlier on and that she got really ill from it, and he's basically her carer now, 24/7. So
who'd you hear that from?
It's just Reddit talk, you know. So the question I would say to you is that what have you heard about the latest of Artie Lang? Do you know where he is and what's going on?
No, it's funny you should ask. It's really funny you should ask, because I went to his house last week. I went to his house. What is it? What's today? Friday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, so on Good Friday, either Holy Thursday, you're Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Good Friday, either on Good Friday or the day before, I went to his house. I know where he lives. It's not a house. It's not like a proper house, like all the dumb houses they have in the fucking Irish countryside. He lives in an apartment, you know, where they have a doorman. So I was on my bike. I ride my bike for sanity and exercise. So I go past his, I don't go right past his house, but I go generally past his house on my bike route. And so I never stop at his house, but I had a run in with him on Good Friday a couple of years ago. And I thought it'd be kind of a nostalgia for me to swing by. So I didn't see Artie, but I talked to his doorman, and I actually videotaped it on my phone, and I was going to put it on YouTube. Hey, look, I went to see Artie Lang, but then people advised me not to, but I still might put it up. Anyway, I went to his house. I asked his doorman, I said, and it's hard to talk to people because I had a mask on, and the guy had a mask on, and he was behind glass, like plexiglass. I said, does Artie still live here? And the guy was like, had a heavy accent. He's probably from Africa. He's like a heavy Africa. Anyway, he wasn't African-American. He was black and with a heavy accent. So he asked me, who's asking? And I thought he was asking me, who are you asking for? So I said, Artie Lang, does Artie Lang still live here? And he goes, I think he said, yes. And I said, well, is he still a fat junkie? So the guy was like, and then he just wouldn't, then he was realized I was trying to get some information. I was just trying to make a funny prank video, you know? So then he wouldn't answer that question. So then I left. And then the guy followed me out of the building, and he goes, why you videotape me? So I said, no, I was just asking you a question. And then I thought he might try to steal my phone, so I skidoodled on my bicycle, got the fuck out of there. But yeah, it's just good natured ribbing. That's what everyone does, good natured ribbing.
So then basically you can confirm that Artie is not in jail.
I know somebody who knows them pretty well. I don't think anything weird is happening with Artie. I think that I haven't heard anything about his anybody in his family coming down ill or anything like that. I just think that Artie's keeping a low profile because he's got nothing to do, you know, because he can't work. And maybe he's paranoid about getting COVID because he has such severe health issues. You know, he's diabetic and he's got all kinds of health issues. So I'm sure if he got it, it would not be a good situation. So I didn't hear anything about his mom getting it or anything. Listen, you know, I mean, the problem, the issue with me is, you know, I take things personally. I guess I shouldn't, but I think to take things personally. So, you know, so somebody tries to fuck with me, I don't, for the most part, I don't get over it, you know. I don't forgive and forget, and that's kind of my show now, you know. Where the whole thing is like I hold on to grudges, you know, because that's kind of the show. I mean, I guess listen. I know everyone wants to do a funny podcast, and everybody wants to, like, you know, riff and everything. Like I said, I was watching some guys riffing on a show, and I'm like, riffing's gay. Like, it's just gay to be all riffing and like, hey, we're riffing, you know, like, hey, look, we're doing riffing. So I don't, that kind of a show, maybe because I'm not good at riffing or maybe just because I think it's gay. But so my show is more about, like, you know, feuds that I have and people that I've had run-ins with will I ever love Artie Lang? Now, I'm not a fan of junkies. Like, honestly, like you know, when Greg Giraldo used to have all kinds of issues with, like, his stuff, I was like, I'm not sympathetic to that. I'm just not. Like, I know I should be a little bit, because that's like, you're supposed to perceive it as a disease, like alcoholism or drug addiction. But like, I'm like, dude, just stop. Like, just stop. So that's where I'm from. Like, you know, I'm a pretty disciplined person. So, I mean, people think I'm lunatic, but if I was a lunatic, I'd be in jail, wouldn't I? Or I'd be like, I'd be in fights all the time, or I would get my face punched in or whatever. But you know, if I was addicted to heroin, I would stop doing heroin. It's like, it's not a complicated scenario for me. I would just stop. If I was like, I'm doing heroin, I'd be like, I smoked cigarettes. I just stopped. I used to play poker a lot. like, I, you know, after a while, I'm like, oh, this is probably not good for me. So I just stop. I just fucking stop. So if I was doing heroin, I know that'd be bad for me. So I would stop doing heroin. Even if I, even when I drink, like, I don't, I get tired of, like, you know, you drink, then you're hungover, then you drink again. Like, I was never a fan of, like, the drinking every night. Once in a while, yeah, I get fucking drunk, but drinking a lot, I was never a fan of, you know.
So, a bit of cocaine here and there is fun, right?
I never did cocaine, but again, like, if I did cocaine, I'd be like, what I want to know about cocaine is, like, what do you do when you're, after you do cocaine? Like, what do? You watch TV? Like, are you too, like, jazzed up to fucking do anything? Like, you try to get laid, and then, like, what do you do when you, after you do a bump of cocaine or whatever they call it?
Live stream on YouTube.
Oh, so that's what you do? You put on a show?
No, of course, me. No, and I would touch the stuff.
So you do coke all the time, right?
Oh, 24/7.
But isn't coke expensive?
Listen, when you're on this show, money's not a fucking problem.
Do you have a Patreon, or you get any YouTube money?
I get YouTube money.
All right. So what I'll say is, you know, I've said this before. Like, I don't think Artie Lang has a lot of money. I don't know if anybody knows exactly how much money he has, but, like, heroin is not free, and cocaine is not free, and even alcohol is not free. So, you know, people that do drugs, it's like, first of all, it's not good for you. And then second of all, it's expensive. So listen, if I did cocaine, I would do it once and I'd be like, oh, that was fun. And then maybe I'd do it a couple of times. Then I would go, fuck it. You know, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like being high. I don't really like being high. I don't mind being drunk, but even being drunk a lot. So I'm from the school. Just stop. Just fucking stop. Like, if you're in a shitty relationship, break up with her. Just be like, oh, I love her. Like, if it's bad for you, fucking stop.
Well, just as we're wrapping up here, we've got just two more.
No, I don't want to wrap up. No, I'm kidding.
No, we've got just two more topics, and then I'm going to go back to doing coke all night long. I got to ask.
What time is it there? Like,
it's exactly 8:59.
So you have done. You there. It is possible you've been doing coke, right?
It's also possible that I've not been doing it.
All right, I don't even know. Good for you, though.
And I got to ask you about Jim Norton, because I love Jim Norton, or should I say loved Jim Norton. I thought he was hilarious. I like watching Chip. But the guy on the Sirius XM show is a fucking, it's not even like it's the same person. He stinks. He's not funny. He's fucking boring. He couldn't make a Bruce Springsteen concert seem fun because it's fucking, that show stinks of shit. Do you think that there's a chance that Norton is, as you mentioned, cancel culture earlier? Do you think that the fact that the fear of cancel culture coming after him for a lot of the shit that he said and done has kind of put Norton on this really boring, unfunny path to shit?
It's a tricky question. I was thinking I was going to tell Chad to, you know, cause Chad has contacts at Sirius Satellite Radio. So I was saying to Chad, like, you should try to get us a show. It's cause Chad's good at that, like networking and talking to people and asking them for stuff. I'm not very good at it, but I was going to say, Chad, you should ask them if we can, like, send him a tape. But then I'm like, is it worth it? Like, I don't, you know, they don't pay you very much unless you get a, you know, established show or unless you're a big personality. But you really do have to be very, unless you're Howard Stern, I think you have to be very, very, very careful over there because, you know, my wife listens to Howard Stern. Again, she's like, she says, Howard says the N word, but it's like, yeah, but he can say the N word. And because he basically owns the network, you know, the network is basically on, it continues to exist because of Howard Stern. So, but if you're not Howard Stern, I don't know what you can say. I don't know what you can say without getting into trouble. And then when you're always worried about what you're saying, then it's like, okay, then what are we doing here? Like what can I say? And then if you're constantly, I mean, that's the advantage of podcasting. Like, you don't have to worry about what you're saying, because, you know, if you say something, then you can always take it out. Or, you know, if it's live stream, you can whatever. But it's like, you can't really get fired. I mean, you can lose your Patreon or whatever, but you can't really get fired like you can at Sirius Satellite Radio or any radio station where they have a boss and a hierarchy where they say, oh, you know, we don't, you know, and they can always say your ratings are not good or whatever, but they can just fire you for stuff you say on the air. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's hard. I'm starting to think, you know, because I got into a little tiff with them a couple of weeks ago, and it was basically all my doing, you know. So, you know, just because I was mad that they hadn't had me on in a couple of years, and they were like, well, you got to ask to be on. And I was like, I said, Sam Morrell asked to be on St. Patrick's Day. I go, you guys are not. I go, that's phooey. What's they say? What do they say when something's bullshit? That's a phooey on you. No, it's just, it's complete bullshit. It's like Sam Morrell didn't ask to be on St. Patrick's Day. They're just, so I was like, wow, these guys are not trying and blah, blah, blah. But you know, what I started to realize is it's, you know, probably what you asked, a combination of playing it safe and not trying to get in and staying away from anything controversial because you might get in trouble. And also, I think, you know, Norton has been through, you know, the O&A years, and then he did the show with Opie, just him and Opie. And then I think on some level he was sick of like the conflict, you know, and him and Sam get along well. So maybe they don't have any conflict. And when there's no conflict, you know, after a while, maybe the show is just, they don't have a lot to, you know what I mean? It's like if you have a sitcom, they want you, like, when, you know, when I used to pitch sitcoms, whatever, they always want conflict, because conflict leads to comedy. You create conflict and then you resolve the conflict, and that's comedy. So, you know, but if Jim and Sam, they get along great, and they really do like each other. But there's probably not a lot of conflict. But Norton was probably sick of conflict after Opie, so he probably didn't want conflict, because he just thought it was too draining on him after the O&A breakup and then just him and Opie. So that's what I'm starting to think, that like Norton didn't want conflict, and because of that, the show doesn't have a lot of conflict. So, and then maybe the show gets a little, because, you know, O&A used to have a lot of conflict, and even Howard Stern used to have a lot of conflict. Howard Stern doesn't have conflict anymore either, and that's why people think it stinks. So I think part of that is like, these guys have been doing on the radio so long, it's like my mom. They want everybody to get along. And for the most part, everybody does get along, but people might find it boring, especially compared to the O&A years, or even to the Opie and Jim years, you know, where there was more, they knew they had conflict because Kumi wasn't there anymore, and then Opie and Kumia didn't get along, but Jim and Kumia still got along. So there was that conflict of, you know, how are they going to make it work? And so that's what I'm guessing, because I know from my own show, like, the more conflict there is, the easier it is to do the show, because then you don't have to worry about being funny or anything. You just let the conflict drive the fucking show, you know?
That's why what you've got to do for an upcoming episode before Chad gets sent to prison, don't tell them that you're bringing on the ski mask people. Just have them appear on screen during recording. Let's get Stancil, we call that Anthony Mead. Let's get fucking ski mask. Let's get the conflict going.
Yeah, but to what? To what end? It's like
30 minutes.
They're just going to argue that everybody knows what they're going to say. Like, Chad's a piece of shit. He's a degenerate. He's going to go to jail. And then Chad will say that these guys are all nothings. They're not even in show business. And they wear hats over their face, and they have fake names. So I already know what they're going to say. And somebody asked me, you know, when they saw my documentary, A guy that was just on my show last week that I'd known for a long time. He used to own a comedy club in the '90s. And he said, "Oh, I watched your documentary." He goes, I didn't know. Cause the show I did with him was like quiet. And we were just talking about like, you know, the old days. And so he goes, "I didn't even know all this conflict you had in your show." He goes, the fans must have hated me. I said, well, they didn't hate you, but mostly it was just like, I don't try to like, how do I say it? It's like, I told him, I never try to do a show where like, let's get contrived, you know, let's get two people I know won't get along and let's put them together. Like if it happens, but I never try to make it too like forced or artificial, you know? So I told him, I just like to do shows that I think are going to be interesting or fun to me. And then if the fans like it, the fans like it. So my point is like, I would never put those two together, Chad against Stance on those guys. Cause I kind of like both of them. And then I just think it would be like them yelling, you know, like when I got in a fight with Jimmy Martinez, it wasn't planned. Like I would never put two groups together, be like, let's watch them fight, you know? Like, it's more interesting to me to like, I don't know what's going to happen, but if I know what's going to happen, I'm like, fuck it. It wouldn't be, you know, like I do your show. Cause I don't know you, you know, if I knew you, I'd be like, I don't, you know, whatever. But it's like, if I know what's going to happen, I almost don't want to do it with Chad and Ski Mask and those guys, because I could have that and people be like, oh, that was great. But it would just be like a lot of fucking yelling. Like when I used to do my show with Lenny Marcus, we were friends. I didn't know we would end up not getting along. Like, I didn't know I end up fucking screaming at him. Like, we were friends. So it was weird. And I didn't know, you know, with Brian McCarthy, I didn't know Brian McCarthy was going to fucking, I mean, that ended up being like a weird ending, but I'm sure it was like entertaining for the fans, but I had never anticipated that. So most of the things that happen, I don't even anticipate, you know?
Well, I didn't anticipate that I was going to get this much time with you. So my final question before I let you go.
I don't know where you can get coke when you come visit in New York. Is that what you're asking me?
No, but I know where to get coke in New York.
Oh, all right.
I know Colin Tyrell, but hey, let's mix stick together.
Name dropping.
Oh, yeah. But I got to say, the final question, I want to ask you about Anthony Cumia, because I'm a huge, huge fan of the guy. I think he's hilarious.
What do you want, his phone number?
Oh, yes. And that is? Anyway. So, but with Anthony Cumia, there's always controversy around him, no matter what he does. He's got this reputation. There's all these legal accusations, there's the fight with black prostitutes in the middle of New York, but he still has a huge following, and he's so funny that comedians love to do his show despite the controversy. So talk to me about what it's like to hang out and do shows with Anthony despite all the controversy around him.
Well, you know, I mean, the bottom line is like, the controversy doesn't mean anything to me. So, I mean, he's funny. He makes me laugh. I mean, not that many guys make me laugh like easily, you know, and he makes me laugh pretty easily. So I never, you know, I mean, I never cared that, you know, after I met him, he was already fired. I never did ONA. So, I never tried. Not like they were shooting me down. I just never thought. I was always like trying to get on TV stuff. So the ONA years, I should have tried harder because, you know, it was a great show, apparently. I didn't even listen to it because I didn't have a fucking car. I live in New York. We don't have a car. I didn't have a car for the most part. So I never really listened to, like, Howard Stern or ONA, or, like, sometimes if I listen to the radio, I listen to sports talk because I'm a fucking loser. Anyway, so I didn't – I knew of the legend, and I knew, like, the ONA crowds were like, notoriously – brutal, and they would fucking heckle, and the Bill Burr stuff in Philadelphia, and you know, the legend of the ONA audiences was like legendary. I know I'm being redundant, but they were legendary. So when I did Cumia, the first time I met Cumia was at Compound Studio. So they asked me to do a show. I hadn't done anything in Compound Media yet, but I got there a little early. So I was sitting on the couch there and Kumia opened the door and I was like, and he's like, oh, and I was like, yeah, how's it going? So I didn't really know him at all. And then I did a show and then I did a show a bunch of times and then I got my own show on there, but he's real funny. He's like really funny. Like I say, even, like my show would be on before his show on Monday and Wednesday. So he would always be like waiting. You know, my show would end at 3:30 and then his show would start at 4:00. So there's like a half an hour in between shows and he's always real funny. So a lot of times I would leave going like, wow, he's like, cause sometimes you're just talking to comics and somebody will say something really funny. And then when you're like on the way home or whatever, you're like, wow, that was really funny what so-and-so said. Just like as a comic, you'd be like, you appreciate it. And you're kind of jealous, you know? So I was like, I was always like, wow, that fucking Kumia always has something funny to say. And I was like, then I would be like, you got to bring your fucking A game. Like, yeah, you just finished your show, but you gotta be ready to go with this guy. Even in the green room, even when he'd be eating and he'd be saying fucking funny shit. So I was like, yeah, you got to be ready to go with this fucking Kumia. But so I never cared. Would I want him to date my daughter or anything like that? I don't know. Like he's a bit of, not my daughter, like my daughter's too young, but I'm saying like if I had a daughter who was 20 or, you know, 25 or something, I'm like, you know, like my Vinny Brandt is a friend of mine and he dated Vinny's daughter, you know? So would I be like, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. Cause he is a kind of a bad, he's a classic, like old fashioned bad boy, you know?
Yeah. And big Italian kitchen, if you ask Bob Kelly.
Oh yeah, with a chandelier. But he likes to have a couple of drinks, and he's just an old school like Italian guy. Let's have a couple of drinks and shoot the shit and you know whatever. But he's funny. Like David Tell's funny. David Tell's the funniest guy I ever met, probably. But Attell is far from like a fucking good guy. But I can't really judge or tell him if he's a good guy or not, like, because he's hilarious. So, like, at some point, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit I don't have to deal. I had to deal with Attell being a dick. I mean, he did never do anything like horrible to me, but like, he was always a fucking dick. And with Kumia, I always got along with him. And also, he never really did anything where I was like, I mean, sometimes a couple times I got pissed off at him when I quit. Because of one thing or another, but if a guy's that funny, I just give him kind of the benefit of the doubt. Like if he's kind of fucking, you know, if he likes to, whatever. Like people do the same thing with Artie Lang. I never found Artie Lang that funny, but I never listened to Howard Stern. My wife loved Artie Lang, so people who love Artie Lang do the same thing with Artie Lang. They're like, oh, he's so funny. I don't care if he's like if his personal life is a mess. Where Kumia's personal life is not a mess, but like he does get into some issues, I guess, with his personal life. But like, you know, the gun stuff and the politics, I don't really give a shit because it's like that's not my politics. But like the guy's funny, so should I be like, oh, I don't like the guy? I don't care. Like Attell's got politics that I'm more aligned with, or Louis C.K. have more politics that I'm like. Even the Louis stuff, it's like, it's not my business. Like Louis's funny. He's always been good to me. And it's like, I'm not going to judge what a guy does of his personal life. I mean, that's what fucking cancel culture is for. But like with these guys, I just give them a pass because they're funny to me, you know? And it's like, I'm only saying that because it's not like I think everybody's funny. Like I think like five guys are funny. So I give these five guys a pass, whoever the fucking five guys are. I'd have to make up a list, but Kumia's on the list. Attell's on a list. Louis C.K.'s on a list. And I have to think about maybe two other guys that I would be like, I mean, they're not murdering people. They murdered somebody. I'd be like, hey, maybe that's not cool.
Joe List.
I like how you're doing this. somebody else is shitting on Joe List. I like Joe List. And my wife says Joe List is always complimentary about me on like if my name comes up on a show, on a podcast, like if he's on Bobby Kelly's show and Bobby Kelly tries to shit on me, Joe List is basically saying, like, no, Kevin's a good comic, or he says good things about me, maybe because we're both friends with Louis. I don't know. But Joe List is speaking of an upstanding citizen, Joe List, I don't think, gets into any trouble. And he's a very, very good comic. So, but I think it's people like to make fun of him because his name's List. And I said he should even name his fans the Joe Listers, you know? And like if my name is Joe List, I call my fan the Joe Listers. That'd be my fan, because my fans, they used to be called the Starfarkers. I don't even know what they call themselves now. Now there's some subset of Kevin's Beautiful Boys, but they're not boys. They're that's what they call themselves. But like the Joe Listers, I think that'd be a great name for your fans if your name is Joe List.
Yeah, well, my listeners are called the Proud Boys, but. I'm gonna.
That's a great name. Listen, that's a great. It's not. It didn't turn out great for the Proud Boys. Like it, probably maybe it got a little out of control. But like, it's a great name for a group.
But listen, I just want to thank you so much for your time. You've been literally one of my goal guests to get. You're fucking hilarious. You may be insane, but you're not hurting anybody, so that makes it okay. Is there anything you'd like to plug before I start hacking this up into clickbait?
Oh yeah, you're gonna put it out. How do you put it out? You put it on Twitter or YouTube?
I put it on YouTube and the audio version with all kinds of hilarious sound effects.
You cut it up on the little clickbits. You didn't even say yeah. You just
Yeah, that's what I do. I'll take your words out of context. It'll be like Kevin Brennan on his hatred for black women, and be about sandwich talk or something.
Watch a documentary. Go to my the YouTube is on Porcelain on documentary. Documentaries on YouTube. It's not on my YouTube page, but I have my own YouTube page where I've been putting out a lot of content lately, and that's YouTube at MLC podcast, and then my Patreon MLC podcast, and then all the stuff's on my Twitter, KevinBrennan666, and my website's KevinBrennan.com. So when's this show come out?
This will be coming out this Sunday. I'm going to start cutting it up right after this. I can't say the E word.
Oh, it's all right. It's a tough word. I can't say statistics, but I could then, because I lowered the bar. I said I couldn't say it. I think that's the trick. You say you can't say it, and then you relax, and you can say it.
Well, I just won't.
If you say I can't say editing, then you can probably say it because you're not all tense about it.
Yeah, I just not say it. But we'll end by giving everyone a big wave at home. Bye, everybody.
I can't believe I just did that.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. So great to get to interview you. So great to have you on. Hopefully it's not the last time. But then one of us is probably going to go to jail soon, let's be honest. And, Kevin Brennan is down. Next, I'm going to try to get Nick DiPaolo or Jenna Jameson. That is two of the guests I'm trying to get for 2021. If you somehow have any way to contact them and influence their decision to come on the podcast, thank you very much in advance, and that's as far as my thanks is going to go. But I would like to thank you all for listening. I'm very happy with this episode. It turned out great, and have a good one, and it's Hughie. Bye bye.